Good morning. We continue our study in Ephesians chapter 3, and it is printed in the service sheet if you wish to follow it. God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Barbara, thank you very much. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now through your word. Amen. Mysteries. The word mystery keeps coming up. If you want to do a quick count, I made it, I think, four times in this passage. A mystery revealed. I don't know if you like mysteries. When I was growing up, one of my favorite books was the series by Enid Blyton. Anyone else remember? The Mystery of, The Missing Cat, The Mystery of. These days, my husband and I quite like crime and mystery TV programs. And we recently watched Line of Duty. I don't know if anyone else did. And it was all about the mystery. Who was H, this mysterious person? And then gradually, all became clear. I won't give it away. I'll simply say, do watch it. It's a great program. It was all about revealing a mystery. And today's passage is all about a mystery being revealed. And it says, as the heading for the passage, God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles. And Paul talks about a revelation that's been made to him, the mystery of the cross. And I wanted to start by telling you one of the few times in my life when I felt I've really had a revelation, if you like, the mystery revealed to me. I want you to imagine me as a 15-year-old, tall, dark hair, and I was a vicar's daughter. I'd been to church all my life. You can't get away with it if your dad's a vicar. And I'd heard for years and years people talking about the cross, but it was a mystery to me. I never understood exactly what the cross had to do with anything. I just didn't quite get it. When I was growing up, one of the hymns we always sung around Good Friday was, "There is a green hill far away without a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified. He died to save us all." And I just didn't quite understand what that meant. And then when I was 15, I went on a young people's house party. It was a cipher house party, and it was for young people from all sorts of churches. And we went and stayed in a big school. I think it was down in the south coast of Britain. And there, I think it was a curate or somebody leading the house party talked about the cross, the mystery of the cross, and explained to me about sin, about Jesus's blood, about forgiveness. And I suddenly understood it. And this is strange. I must have heard it for 15 years, and then suddenly one day it all became clear. I never understood that verse from that hymn. "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let me in." What was a mystery to me, suddenly I understood. Whether it was a different person or a different preacher or a different setting, I don't know. But suddenly it felt as if the mystery of what that hymn was about was revealed. So the Greek word mysterion means that puzzling truth into which you are initiated. It's when a truth is opened up to you, a truth that was hidden, is now revealed by God. God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles. So let's look at this passage. You can follow it. It's on the service sheets in front of you. I'm going to go retro and go back to three points beginning with the same letter, and the letter's P. It helps me to understand. Prison, plan, purpose. So the first P, for prison. And this is the mystery. Imagine you're a member of the church in Ephesus or one of the surrounding churches, and you receive this letter, the letter to the Ephesians. And the mystery is, who's this person, Paul, who's writing to us? They may or may not have remembered who he was. There may have been new converts there. And the mystery, why is this person in prison? Verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Then at the end of the passage, verse 13, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Paul explains that he was in prison. He's in Rome when he writes this. And he says, "Don't be discouraged because of my sufferings, they're for you." He explains the calling Paul had, the ministry he had as an apostle to the Gentiles. He says, "I was commissioned by Christ. It's my special vocation to come to the Gentiles." A Gentile is somebody who's not a Jew. Paul says, "For the sake of you." And sometimes people have specific callings to specific groups of people. Some people are particularly called to work with children or with older people or to work with different racial groups. One of our mission partners, Stephen Pasht, is particularly called to work with the Jews. So he works for Jews for the Jesus in Geneva and Switzerland. Paul has this particular calling, and it's ended up with him in prison. But he's also aware that he used to be a persecutor of Christians. And in verse 3, "That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." He's talking about his Damascus Road experience. Do you remember in Acts 9 when he's traveling along the road to Damascus and suddenly there's a blinding light and Jesus reveals himself to Paul? Verse 8, Paul says, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me." It's not false humility. He simply knows he was once the persecutor, but now he's called to preach to the Gentiles. God uses our past experiences, both bad and good. He uses our passions, our gifts in his service. So what is our particular vocation and calling? And age is not a barrier. So P stands for prison. Paul is in prison, but he's affirming, my call, he says, is to the Gentiles. The revelation I received from God, for me personally, Paul says, is to preach to the Gentiles, even though it meant he ended up in prison in Rome. So the first P is prison. The second P is plan. What is this great plan revealed by God? It's easy. It's to include everyone. God's plan is to include Gentiles, not just Jews, in his kingdom. There are no barriers of race or background or colour or culture in God's kingdom. Verse 6 says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Did you spot that word together three times? S-Y-N, sin in the Greek, together with. Sometimes translated as Gentiles are co-heirs, together in one body, together with Israel, concorporate, together, and together in the promise, co-partakers. In the creed we said earlier, we said we believe in one holy Catholic Church. Catholic, with a small c, means universal church, Jews and non-Jews together. We are all loved by God. We are receivers of his boundless grace. And God's secret plan was always to bring the Gentiles into fellowship with him, equally with the Jews. It was done through a Jewish Messiah. It doesn't make us better than the Jews. It doesn't make the Jews necessarily better than us. We are all under God's grace. We all need his grace. Jesus may have been a Jew, but he died for absolutely everyone. On Sunday week, it's Pentecost, and that's when we think about the Holy Spirit coming down and every nation hearing the gospel in their own language. And then in the book of Acts, we think about the gospel spreading from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, even to Britain. So the plan is to include Gentiles and Jews. I think there's a reminder today not to despise the Jews. There's been a lot about anti-Semitism in the press recently. Don't despise the Jews. Give thanks for God for sending Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, but also the Messiah for us all. So God's plan was to include us, to include people living on remote islands in the Pacific, to include people living in remote places of the Arctic, all included in his plan for salvation. The P stands for plan, Gentiles and Jews together. The Thy Kingdom prayer, which Deborah mentioned, which we're praying for 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, includes all sorts of different people from all sorts of different churches. We're encouraged to pray that God's kingdom will come. P is for plan. The final P, for purpose. So what is God's purpose for Paul and for his church? And we can see this in verse 8 and 9. The purpose, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. So Paul is clear. His purpose is to preach and make plain or enlighten people to the boundless riches of Christ. And that's what we've had in chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. I'm just going to read out a list of all those riches of Christ: his resurrection, his enthronement, the reconciliation with God, incorporation with the Jews, the end of war, shalom, peace, access to God, being a member of God's kingdom and God's household, his indwelling us. Those are the boundless riches of Christ. Paul died back in the first century, and so we, the church, need to take on that role, preaching, making plain, enlightening people. So please pray for preachers, pray for ordinands, pray for people like Deborah training for licensed lay ministry. And verse 10 is one of the most important verses in the New Testament about what's the point of the church. His intent was now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's saying that the church exists to confront all rulers with God's wisdom. God's intent is that his wisdom is made known, and the church is the witness, the church is the vehicle of this mystery revealed. Manifold wisdom means multicolored or many forms of wisdom. And when you look at the church, you see that Catholic with a small c church. It is multiracial, multicolored, multicultured, all sorts of people in the church. Lots of diversity in the church. And yet the church is just one generation away from extinction. If we don't tell our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews and our godchildren, if we don't tell them before we die, that knowledge of God's love, that revelation of his mystery, will be lost. We've got to keep proclaiming, preaching afresh to every generation God's mystery. That's why, as a church, we put money and effort into children's work, into youth work, into schools work, and into work with older people. Proclaiming to each generation the good news, the mystery. And then to finish, verse 11 and 12, according to his eternal purpose, he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So God's purpose is to make known his wisdom. This is what Jesus did. That was the revelation I found when I was 15, when just one person explained the gospel in a way I suddenly understood. Verse 12 talks about approaching God in him, in Jesus, and through him, freely and confidently. And our purpose is the same, that whatever your particular calling or our particular vocation is, to make Christ known, to witness to his saving love. It can be as simple as somebody regularly going to the Spa coffee shop, just talking to other people there about their faith. So the mystery revealed, the three P's. P for prison. That's where Paul and other people, even today, end up for preaching the gospel. P for plan. God's plan was always to bring Gentiles as well as Jews into his kingdom. And finally, P for purpose, to preach the gospel afresh in every generation, to make it known. Let's be quiet now and reflect on what God is saying to us through this passage from Ephesians. As we think about Paul in prison, let's just reflect on the calling that led him there. What is God particularly calling us to do? Let's reflect on God's plan for inclusion, including people in the kingdom. How can we help with God's plan? And let's think about God's purpose in making plain, in explaining the mystery, in preaching. So let's just be quiet now and let God bring to mind anything he wants to say to us now. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the mystery that has been revealed to us. We thank you for those that explained the gospel to us so that we suddenly understood why Jesus came to die on the cross for us. We thank you for your plan to include everyone in your kingdom. And we thank you too for that purpose you have given us to make Christ known, to share your wisdom with others. We ask that you will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.